62. Research. I wish to submit my formal protest at the idea of abandoning the tower. This is an extreme step, taken brashly. From drawer 222, Smokestone. Secrets. The city was brimming with them. It was stuffed with them so tightly they couldn't help but ooze out. The only thing for Shallan to do then was punch herself in the face. That was harder than it seemed. She always flinched. Come on, she thought, making a fist. With eyes squeezed shut, she braced herself, then smacked her free hand into the side of her head. It barely hurt. She simply wasn't capable of hitting herself hard enough. Maybe she could get Adolin to do it for her. He was in the back workroom of the tailor's shop. Shallan had excused herself to step into the front showroom, as she figured the others would react poorly to her trying to actively attract a painspren. She could hear their voices as they interrogated the polite tailor. "It started with the riots, Your Majesty," the woman said in response to a question from Elokar. "Or maybe before, with the... Well, it's complicated. Oh, I can't believe that you're here. I've had passion for something to happen true, but to finally... I mean..."
"Take a deep breath, Yogska," Adolin said gently.
Even his voice was adorable.
"Once you've taken all this in, we can continue."
Secrets, Shallan thought. Secrets caused all of this. Shallan peeked into the other room. The king, Adolin, Yogska the tailor, and Kaladin sat inside, all wearing their own faces again. They'd sent Kaladin's men, along with Red, Ishna, and Vatha, off with the tailor's housemaid to prepare the upper rooms and attic to accommodate guests. Yogska and her husband would be sleeping on pallets in the back room here. Naturally, Elokar had been given their room. Right now, the small group had arranged a circle of wooden chairs under the heedless watch of tailor's dummies, wearing a variety of half-finished coats. Similar finished coats were displayed around the showroom. They were made in bright colors, even brighter than the Alethi wore at the Shattered Plains, with gold or silver thread, shiny buttons, and elaborate embroidery on the large pockets. The coats didn't close at the front except for a few buttons right below the collar, while the sides flared out, then split into tails at the back. "It was the execution of the Ardent, Bright Lord," Yogska said. "The queen had her hanged, and, oh, it was so gruesome. Blessed passion, Your Majesty. I don't want to speak ill of your wife. She must not have realized."
"Just tell us," Elokar said. "Do not fear reprisal. I must know what the city's people think."
Yogska trembled. She was a small, plump woman who wore her long Thalen eyebrows curled in twin ringlets and was probably very fashionable in that skirt and blouse. Shallan lingered in the doorway, curious as to what the tailor had to say. "Well," Yogska continued, "during the riots, the queen basically vanished. We'd get proclamations from her now and then, but they often didn't make much sense. It all went wrong at the Ardent's death. The city was already in an uproar. She wrote such awful things, Your Majesty, about the state of the monarchy and the queen's faith and—"
"And Aesudan condemned her to death," Elokar said.
Lit only by a few spheres at the center of their circle, his face was half-shadowed. It was a most intriguing effect, and Shallan took a memory for later sketching.
"Yes, Your Majesty."
"It was the Dark Spren, obviously, who gave the actual order," Elokar said. "The Dark Spren that is controlling the palace. My wife would never be so imprudent as to publicly execute an Ardent during such parlous times."
"Oh, yes, of course. Dark Spren. In the palace."
Yogska sounded relieved to have a rationale for not blaming the queen. Shallan considered, then noticed a pair of fabric scissors on a ledge nearby. She snatched them, then ducked back into the showroom. She pulled her skirt to the side, then stabbed herself in the leg with the scissors.
The sharp pain seared up her leg and through her body.
Pattern said. Destruction. This is not normal for you, Shallan. Too far.
She trembled at the pain. Blood welled from the wound, but she pressed her hand against it to limit its spread. There. That had done it. Pain Spren appeared around her, as if crawling out of the ground, like little disembodied hands. They looked skinless, made of sinew. Normally they were bright orange, but these were a sickly green. And they were also wrong. Instead of human hands, these seemed to be from some kind of monster. Too distorted, with claws jutting from the sinew. Shallan eagerly took a memory, still holding her Hava skirt up to keep it from the blood.
Does that not hurt?
Pattern asked, from where he'd moved onto the wall.
Of course it does, Shallan said, her eyes watering. That was the point.
He buzzed, worried, but he needn't have been, as Shallan had what she wanted. Satisfied, she took in a little stormlight and healed up, then used some cloth from her satchel to wipe the blood from her leg. She rinsed her hands and the cloth in the washroom basin. She was surprised at the running water. She hadn't thought Kolinar had such things. She took out her drawing pad and returned to the back room's doorway, where she leaned against the jamb, doing a quick sketch of the strange, twisted pain spren. Yasna would tell her to put down her sketchpad and go sit with the others, but Shallan often paid better attention with a sketchpad in her hands. People who didn't draw never seemed to understand that.
"Tell us about the palace," Kaladin said. "The dark spren, as His Majesty put it."
Yokska nodded.
"Oh yes, Bright Lord."
Shallan glanced up to catch Kaladin's reaction at being called Bright Lord, but he didn't show one. His illusory disguise was gone, though Shallan had tucked that sketch away for possible further use. He'd summoned his blade earlier in the morning, and he now had eyes as blue as any she'd seen. They hadn't faded yet.
"There was that unexpected high storm," Yokska continued, "and after that the weather went insane. The rain started going in fits and starts. But oh, when that new storm came, the one with the red lightning, it left a gloom over the palace. So nasty. Dark times. I suppose those haven't ended."
"Where were the royal guards?" Elokar said. "They should have augmented the watch, restored order during the rioting."
"The palace guard retreated into the palace, Your Majesty," Yokska said. "And she ordered the city watch to barricade into the barracks. They eventually moved to the palace on the queen's orders. They haven't been seen since."
"Storms," Shallan thought, continuing her sketch.
"Oh, I guess I'm jumping about, but I forgot," Yokska continued. "In the middle of the rioting, a proclamation came from the queen. Oh, Your Majesty. She wanted to execute the city's parshmen. Well, we all thought she must be. I'm sorry, but we thought she must be mad. Poor things. What have they ever done? That's what we thought. We didn't know. Well, the queen posted criers all over the city proclaiming the parshmen to be void bringers. And I must say about that she was right. Yet it was still so strange. She didn't even seem to notice that half the city was rioting."
"The dark spren," Elokar said, making a fist. "It must be blamed. Not Aesudan." "Were there reports of any strange murders?" Adolin asked. "Murders or violence that came in pairs. A man would die and then a few days later someone else would be killed in the exact same way?"
"No, Bright Lord. Nothing like that. Though there were many who were killed."
Shallan shook her head. It was a different unmade here. Another ancient spren of odium. Religion and lore spoke of them vaguely at best, tending to simplistically conflate them into one evil entity. Navani and Yasna had begun to research them over the last weeks, but they still didn't know very much. She finished her sketch of the pain spren, then did one of the exhaustion spren they'd seen earlier. She'd managed to glimpse some hunger spren around a refugee on their way. Oddly, those didn't look any different. Why? Need more information, Shallan thought. More data. What was the most embarrassing thing she could think of?
Well, Elokar said, though we didn't order the parchment executed, only exiled, at least that order seems to have reached Aes Sedain. She must have been free enough from the control of the dark forces to heed our words via span read.
Of course, he didn't mention the logical problems. If the tailor was correct about the dark spren arriving during the Everstorm, then Aes Sedain had executed the Ardent on her own, as that had happened before. Likewise, the order to exile the Parshman would also have come before the Everstorm. And who knew if an unmade could even influence someone like the Queen? The spren in Urethiru had mimicked people, not controlled them. Yokska did seem to be a little scattered in her retelling of events, so maybe Elokar could be forgiven for mixing up the timeline. Either way, Shallan needed something embarrassing. When I spilled wine the first time Father gave me some at a dinner party. No, something more.
Oh, Yokska said. Your Majesty, you should know. The proclamation requiring the execution of the Parshman? Well, a coalition of important Light Eyes didn't follow it. Then after that terrible storm, the Queen started giving other orders, so the Light Eyes went to meet with her.
Let me guess, Kaladin said. They never came back from the palace.
No, Bright Lord, they did not.
How about when I woke and faced Yasna after I'd almost died and she'd discovered that I'd betrayed her?
Surely remembering that event would be enough.
No?
Bother. So the Parshman, Adolin said. Did they get executed?
No, Yokska continued. Like I said, everyone was concerned with the riots, save for the servants posting the Queen's orders, I suppose. The Wall Guard eventually took action. They restored some measure of order in the city, then rounded up the Parshmen and exiled them to the plain outside. And then the Everstorm came, Shallan said, covertly undoing the button on her safe-hand sleeve.
Yokska seemed to shrink down in her seat. The others fell silent, which provided the perfect opportunity for Shallan. She took a deep breath, then strolled forward, holding her sketchpad as if distracted. She tripped herself over a roll of cloth on the floor, yelped, and tumbled into the center of the ring of chairs. She ended up sprawled on the floor, skirts up about her waist, and she wasn't even wearing the leggings today. Her safe hand bulged out from between the sleeve buttons, poking into the open right in front of not just the king, but Kaladin and Adolin. Perfectly, horribly, incredibly mortifying. She felt a deep blush come on, and shame spren dropped around her in a wave. Normally they took the shape of falling red and white flower petals. These were like pieces of broken glass. The men, of course, were more distracted by the position she'd gotten herself into. She squawked, managed to take a memory of the shame spren, and righted herself, blushing furiously and tucking her hand in her sleeve. That, she thought, might be the craziest thing you've ever done, which is saying a lot. She grabbed her sketchbook and bustled away, passing Yokska's white-bearded husband. Shallan still hadn't heard him speak a word, standing in the doorway with a tray of wine and tea. Shallan grabbed the darkest cup of wine and downed it in a single gulp, feeling the stares of the men on her back.
Shallan? Adolin piped up.
I'm fine, that was an experiment, she said, ducking into the showroom and throwing herself into a seat placed there for customers.
Storms, that was humiliating. She could still see partway into the other room. Yokska's husband walked with his silver tray to the group. He stopped by Yokska, though serving the king first would have been the correct protocol, and rested a hand on her shoulder. She put her own on his.
Shallan flipped open her sketchpad and was pleased to see more shame spren dropping around her. Still glass. She started a drawing, burying herself in it to keep from thinking about what she'd just done.
So, Elokar said in the next room, we were talking about the wall guard. They obeyed the queen's orders?
Well, that was around the time that the High Marshal appeared. I've never seen him, either. He doesn't come down from the wall much. He restored order, so that's good. But the wall guard doesn't have the numbers to police the city and watch the wall, so they've taken to watching the wall and mostly leaving us to just survive in here.
Who rules now? Kaladin asked.
Nobody, Yokska said. Various High Lords. Well, they basically seized sections of the city. Some argued that the monarchy had fallen, that the king, I beg pardon, your majesty, had abandoned them. But the real power in the city is in the cult of moments.
Shallan looked up from her drawing. Those people we saw on the street? Adolin asked. Dressed like Spren?
Yes, your highness, Yokska said. I don't know what to tell you. Spren looks strange sometimes in the city, and people think it has to do with the queen, the weird storm, the parchment. They're scared. Some have started claiming they can see a new world coming, a truly strange new world. One ruled by Spren. The Vorin Church has declared the cult of moments a heresy, but so many of the Ardents were in the palace when it grew dark. Most of those remaining took refuge with one of the High Lords who claimed small sections of Kolinar. Those are increasingly isolated, ruling their districts on their own. And then there are the Fabrials.
Fabrials.
Shallan scrambled to her feet and stuck her head into the next room. What about the Fabrials?
If you use a Fabrial, Yokska said, of any sort, from Spanry to Warmer to Painrail, you'll draw them.
Screaming yellow Spren that ride the wind like streaks of terrible light. They shout and swirl about you. That then usually brings the creatures from the sky, the ones with the loose clothing and long spears. They seize the Fabrial and sometimes kill the one trying to use it.
Storms, Shallan thought.
Have you seen this? Kaladin asked. What did the Spren look like? You heard them speak?
Shallan glanced at Yokska, who had sunk down farther in her seat.
I think maybe we should give the good tailor a break, Shallan noted. We've shown up on her doorstep out of nowhere, stolen her bedroom, and are now interrogating her. I'm sure the world won't fall apart if we let her have a few minutes to drink her tea and recover.
The woman looked at Shallan with an expression of pure gratitude.
Storms! Adolin said, leaping to his feet. Of course, you're right, Shallan. Yokska, forgive us, and thank you so much for—
No need for thanks, your highness, she said. Oh, I did have passion that help would come, and here it is. But if it pleases the king, a little rest? Yes, a little rest would be much appreciated.
Kaladin grunted and nodded, and Elokar waved a hand in a way that wasn't quite dismissive. More just self-absorbed. The three men left Yokska to rest and joined Shallan in the showroom, where light from the setting sun streamed between the drapes on the front windows. Those would normally be open to show off the tailor's creations, but no doubt they'd lately spent most of their time closed. The four gathered together to digest what they'd discovered.
Well?
Elokar asked, speaking, for once, in a soft, thoughtful tone.
I want to know what's going on with the wall guard, Kaladin said. Their leader. None of you have heard of him?
High Marshal Azure? Adolin asked.
No, but I've been away for years. There are bound to be many officers in the city who were promoted while the rest of us were at war.
Azure might be the one feeding the city, Kaladin said. Someone is providing grain. This place would have eaten itself to starvation without some source of food.
At least we've learned something, Shallan said. We know why the Spanreeds cut off.
The Voidbringers are trying to isolate the city, Elokar said. They locked down the palace to prevent anyone from using the Oath Gate, then cut off communication via Spanreeds.
They're stalling until they can gather a large enough army.
Shallan shivered. She held up her sketch pad, showing them the drawings she'd done.
Something is wrong with the city's Spren.
The men nodded as they saw her drawings, though only Kaladin seemed to catch what she'd been doing. He looked from the drawing of the Shame Spren to her hand, then raised an eyebrow at her. She shrugged.
Well, it worked, didn't it?
Prudence, the king said softly. We mustn't simply rush in and fall to whatever darkness seized the palace. But we also can't afford to be inactive.
He stood up straighter. Shallan had grown so accustomed to seeing Elokar as an afterthought, a fault of the way Dalinar increasingly had been treating him. But there was an earnest determination to him, and yes, even a regal bearing.
Yes, she thought, taking another memory of Elokar. Yes, you are king, and you can live up to your father's legacy.
We must have a plan, Elokar said. I would gladly hear your wisdom on this matter, Windrunner. How should we approach this?
Honestly, I'm not sure we should. Your Majesty, it might be best to catch the next high storm, return to the tower, and report back to Dalinar. He can't reach us with his visions here, and one of the Unmade could very well be beyond our mission's parameters.
We don't need Dalinar's permission to act, Elokar said.
I didn't mean, what is my uncle going to do, Captain? Dalinar won't know any more than we will. We either do something about Kolinar ourselves now, or give the city, the Oathgate, and my family up to the enemy.
Shallan agreed, and even Kaladin nodded slowly.
We should at least scout the city and get a better feel for things, Adolin noted.
Yes, Elokar said. A king needs accurate information to act correctly. Lightweaver, could you take on the look of a messenger woman?
Of course, Shallan said. Why?
Let us say I were to dictate a letter to Aesudan, the king said, then seal it with the royal seal. You could act the part of a messenger who had come personally from the Shattered Plains, traveling through great hardship to reach the queen to deliver my words. You could present yourself at the palace and see how the guards there react.
That's not a bad idea, Kaladin said.
He sounded surprised.
It could be dangerous, Adolin said. The guards might bring her into the palace itself.
I'm the only one here who has confronted one of the Unmade directly, Shallan said. I'm most likely to be able to spot their influence, and I have the resources to get out. I agree with His Majesty. Eventually, someone must go into the palace and see what is happening there. I promise to back off quickly if my gut says something is happening.
Pattern said unexpectedly from her skirts. He generally preferred to remain silent when others were near.
I will watch and warn. We will be careful.
See if you can assess the state of the Oathgate, the king said. Its platform is part of the palace complex, but there are ways up other than through the palace itself. The best thing for the city might be to go in quietly, activate it, and bring in reinforcements, then decide how to rescue my family. But do reconnaissance only for now.
And the rest of us just sit around tonight? Kaladin complained.
Waiting and trusting those whom you have empowered is the soul of kingship, Windrunner, Elokar said. But I suspect that Brightness Shallan would not object to your company, and I'd rather have someone watching to help get her out in an emergency.
He wasn't exactly correct. She would object to Kaladin's presence. Vale wouldn't want him looking over her shoulder, and Shallan wouldn't want him asking questions about that persona. However, she could find no reasonable objection.
I want to get a feel for the city, she said, looking to Kaladin. Have Yokska scribe the king's letter, then meet me. Adolin, is there a good spot we could find each other?
The grand steps up to the palace complex, maybe, he said. They're impossible to miss, and have a little square out in front of them.
Excellent, Shallan said. I'll be wearing a black hat, Kaladin.
You can wear your own face, I suppose, now that we're past the wall guard. But that slave, Brand. She reached up to create an illusion to make it vanish from his forehead. He caught the hand.
No need. I'll keep my hair down over it.
It peeks out, she said.
Then let it. In a city full of refugees, nobody is going to care.
She rolled her eyes, but didn't push. He was probably right. In that uniform, he'd probably just be taken for a slave someone bought, then put in their house guard. Even though the Shash Brand was odd. The king went to prepare his letter, and Adolin and Kaladin stayed in the showroom to talk quietly about the wall guard. Shallan headed up the steps. Her own room was a smaller one on the second floor. Inside were Red and Vatha, and Ishna, the assistant spy, chatting quietly.
How much did you eavesdrop on? Shallan asked them.
Not much, Vatha said, thumbing over his shoulder. We were too busy watching Ishna ransack the tailor's bedroom to see if she was hiding anything.
Tell me you didn't make a mess.
No mess, Ishna promised. And nothing to report, either. The woman might actually be as boring as she seems. The boys did learn some good search procedures, though.
Shallan walked past the small guest bed and looked out the window at a daunting view down a city street. So many homes. So many people. Intimidating. Fortunately, Vale wouldn't see it that way. There was only one problem.
I can't work with this team, she thought, without them eventually asking questions.
This Kolinar mission would bring it to a head, as Vale hadn't flown with them.
She'd been dreading this and kind of anticipating it. I need to tell them, she whispered.
Pattern said. It's good. Progress.
Rather, she'd been backed into a corner. Still, it had to be done eventually.
She walked to her pack and removed a white coat and a hat, which folded up on its side.
Some privacy, boys, she said to Vatha and Red. Vale needs to get dressed.
They looked from the coat to Shallan, then back. Red slapped the side of his head and laughed.
You're kidding! Well, I feel like an idiot.
She'd expected Vatha to feel betrayed. Instead, he nodded, as if this made perfect sense. He saluted her with one finger, then the two men retreated. Ishna lingered. Shallan had, after some debate, decided to bring the woman. Moraes had vetted her, and in the end, Vale needed the training.
You don't look surprised about this, Shallan said as she started changing.
I was suspicious when you told me to go on this mission, she said. Then I saw the illusions and guessed.
She paused.
I had it reversed. I thought Brightness Shallan was the persona. But the spy, that's the false identity.
Wrong, Shallan said. They're both equally false.
Once dressed, she flipped through her sketchbook and found a drawing of Lynn in her scouting uniform.
Perfect.
Go tell Bright Lord Kaladin I'm already out and exploring, and that he should meet me in about an hour.
She climbed out the window and dropped one story to the ground, relying on her stormlight to keep her legs from breaking.
Then she struck off down the street.